my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to episode 48 of my 1-2-3 cents the podcast, and thanks for getting it a little later than usual. We're talking about Hell in a Cell and then getting a first-hand account of that event. Chad, of course, was out in Los Angeles at the Staples Center for the big show. And Chad, what are your first impressions of Hell in a Cell 2015?
My first impressions is that the show went by a lot quicker than I just needed to go by. Nothing really dragged. And then, at the end of the day, I just kind of it was a show.
We are having a little bit of audio here, so Chad said basically that it was a show. Were you surprised at all by, and we're not going to really talk about work rate because we feel like WWE, the talent is there. We're looking at it from a story line standpoint. Were you surprised when Alberto Del Rio came out, or did you expect that? I mean, I was surprised, and I'll say pleasantly surprised by that.
I was surprised. I've seen rumors circulating in the internet that Del Rio was in negotiations to come back. Before the show, I was talking with a guy that works for WWE, and he was saying, oh yeah, you know, see Mr. Opponent, he's sitting in the truck next to him. But he wouldn't say who it was. He said, you know, is it going to be a good surprise or a bad surprise? Because I believe I texted you about you during the day and said, you know, there were rumors that Daniel Bryan was going to be there. And he's like, yeah, it's going to be a surprise. It depends on how you feel about it. And it was a legitimate surprise. So that was, on that hand, it was a good thing. But I'm not a Del Rio fan. It's never really done much for me as a wrestler. So it was a good surprise. But I thought the itself was pretty pedestrian, and especially given the recent matches that has had, the thing came off as very underwhelming. I think it killed the crowd for a little bit, even though the crowd was excited to see Del Rio and cheered him on as the de facto face in the match.
What do you make of, and I haven't read anything, and I tuned in as the match had already started, what do you make of Zeb Coulter being in Del Rio's corner?
I thought it was a good swerve because I probably 95% of the people, including myself, and Zeb came out, you know, figured that Jack Swagger was going to be the opponent, which I think really would have been a letdown. I think it's an interesting question is that Coulter character, and I don't know where they're going, but no, this could be a good opportunity for WWE Hall of Famer and presidential candidate Donald Trump to make an appearance and kind of play off of Zeb welcoming the Hispanic wrestler back in and claiming that, you know, we need open borders or whatever he was talking about.
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic, and like we always say, time will tell, and we'll kind of keep an eye on it. And I'm recording from a different location today, and I don't have the whole card pulled up in front of me, but I'm going to talk about the things that I remember, and then you, of course, chime in and keep me on course. Or do you have the matches
I have my memory.
Okay, we're both working on our memory. We're both in our 40s, so we'll take that for what it's worth. The other match that I did stay up for and watched that really impressed me, and I think I texted you and said that was Nikki Bella's best match ever, was the Divas Championship match where Charlotte defended the championship against Nikki Bella. And there were some moments there that I thought we could have seen a title change.
Yeah, I mean, the match is obviously going to be held in comparison to NXT women's matches, and I think especially whenever a Bella is in a match, the WWE fans probably aren't going to take it as serious as they would an NXT match, but I thought the match was fine. I was kind of surprised, much like the Roman Reigns Bray Wyatt match, where everyone was banned from ringside, and there was no shenanigans until after Charlotte won, and then Becky and Paige, you know, came out to celebrate. But yeah, I thought it was a fine match. The when Nikki gave Charlotte the Alabama Slam on the apron, that was, you know, for a women's match, something that you don't see very often or ever. So yeah, I think it was really good, and I don't know what the WWE fans are just being contrite or what, but it kind of seemed at times like Nikki was more the face than Charlotte was in the match, like with the reaction. So yeah, I'm curious to see where they go next, but yeah, that match definitely exceeded expectations.
Yeah, probably one of the more physical Divas matches on the WWE roster that we've seen in quite some time as well, but job well done by both of the women involved in that. And you mentioned Bray versus Roman Reigns inside the Hell in a Cell. From watching it at home, I still didn't feel like that one needed to be in the cell. What was your impression? It didn't seem like I think they kept everything inside the cage, didn't they?
Yeah, which really surprised me. And I'd made the comment on the way down to the show with the friends that I went with, where that match seemed, because you have, you know, Dean Ambrose and the Wyatt family, I was expecting something to happen where they would come in and maybe, like, you know, destroy part of the cage so that they could get in, or Roman and Bray could get out, because that's, you know, for all intents and purposes, that's what you expect from a Hell in a Cell match. It very rarely actually keeps people contained.
Right.
But then it's like, okay, well, they still had the Brock Undertaker match later in the show, so if they destroy the cage early on, then when that match comes up, how does that work? I was surprised that none of the Wyatt family made an appearance. The match itself was, it was a perfectly fine match, and I was hoping Bray was going to win, but I kind of knew in my, you know, had that feeling that Roman was going to go over. There were some good spots during the match, but yeah, it was another one that just kind of, like the Cena Del Rio match, it just kind of felt like more of what we've already seen.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and speaking of that, I probably, outside of Del Rio's appearance, the biggest surprise to me of the night was that the Dudley Boys did not win the WWE Tag Team Championship. Were you surprised by that?
I was. I kind of figured that that's what this whole feud has been building up to. I'm glad they didn't.
I agree.
I think New Day should have a good lengthy title run. And I'm actually, you know, hindsight being what it is, and quarterback booking everything, I don't think I would have had the Dudleys go after the titles this quickly. I would have brought them back and kind of reestablished them and made them work their way up to a title shot or a title feud. But yeah, the match was good, but it wasn't like it wasn't something I hadn't seen before.
Mm-hmm.
So, which I think is the whole, pretty much the opinion of the entire show is good, but
we've seen it.
Yeah, it's nothing really stood out. But yeah, I'm glad Dudley's didn't win, and New Day are just so, they're so entertaining right now, even without Xavier Woods, which unfortunately his trombone took a beating.
So hopefully he can hit up another music store and get another trombone, because I really think that the trombone needs to stick around.
I'm surprised the trombone doesn't have its own Twitter handle yet.
You know, yeah, or Titantron video now. it was disappointing that Xavier Woods wasn't there. But the match was good. I mean,
is he selling an injury or is he legitimately hurt? Do you know?
I believe story. You know, kayfabe. It's selling an injury. Reality is, I read he got married this weekend.
Hmm. Well, congrats to him.
So, yes.
Well, that's cool. And I think that was up to the point I watched up in the Divas match was the last thing I watched, and I think that was about halfway through the show. Now, obviously, there was a championship match, the Demon Kane. I noticed they've been calling him that now, versus Seth Rollins for the championship. How did that one, talk about that match, because I did not see that one.
Well, it was surprising that he was just introduced as Kane, not Demon Kane. which, yeah, I made the comment afterwards. That match was very... I would say it was one of the two worst matches on the show. And no, worse because it was bad. It was just... I'm repeating myself. It was just there. Like, there was no real drama. There was no... I was... thinking, I was talking with my friend that I was trying to remember if Stephanie had said Kane has to win the title or if he just has to win or otherwise Corbin Kane would be dismissed. And I was saying if he just has to win, I was expecting kind of a Seth Rollins DQ or count out or something to give Kane a victory without him actually winning the title. But the match was just, you know, Rollins kind of bumped for a little bit and then hit the pedigree and it was done.
So Kane lost. Kane got pinned.
Kane got pinned, yes.
So then this means that corporate Kane is done.
In theory, yes.
Interesting. And I have a Kane theory that I'll get to when we get to the main event.
Okay.
But help me here. Ryback versus Kevin Steen for the... or Kevin Owens, I'm sorry, for the Intercontinental Championship. Assuming Owens retained.
Owens retained, and this would probably be my worst match of the night.
Really?
It just never seemed to get going, and it was more, I guess, I didn't see the match on Raw that Owens had with Mark Henry, but from what I'd read about it, this kind of seemed the same way, where Owens gets beat up the entire match and then hits the pop-up powerbomb and wins.
Hmm.
It was very plodding and just not exciting at all. And it's kind of disappointing. Kevin Owens has gone from, you know, the crowd really being into him to now he's just another guy on the show. And I think that's part of the, I don't know if that's part of the John Cena curse or just bad booking in general, but you know, I'm not going to write him off and say, oh, no one's going to care. Like, I think he still has that potential to be a big star, but they've got to do something with him other than what they've been doing.
Was Tyler Breeze on the show at all last night?
He was not, which, when I read the SmackDown spoilers and saw that he had debuted, I questioned why they did it on the SmackDown before a pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
There is no... no, nothing with him at all. I don't know if commentary mentioned him, but yeah, it just seemed like kind of a way. And so I'm going to segue into that, into the pre-show match, the six-man tag, which we got into the arena right as the introductions for that were going on. We got to our seats, and the match itself was fine. It was basically the Raw match, I believe, redone, only this time the faces won instead of the heels because 50-50 booking.
Sure.
I had texted you and was being sarcastic, which you since you weren't watching the show, you didn't get, but I would have to say that the most over person for the entire show was Cesaro. That place was, after that match, I talked to my friend who had gone to SummerSlam 2012 with me and asked her, I was like, do you remember SummerSlam being this loud? And she's like, no, this is insane. And it was all basically for Cesaro. They were waiting for the hot tag, and then once he got in there, that the proverbial roof was blown off the place.
Wow.
I hope Vince McMahon was listening. And if he was, I'm sure Cesaro will job out to the Bull. I can't think of his name. Los Matadors mascot in about 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Torito.
El Torito.
Yeah. So Cesaro will job to him in about 30 seconds tonight for getting over when he wasn't supposed to. But yeah, I think, I mean, Cesaro is a star in the making if they would actually get behind him.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I actually, I like the, and I don't know if they're going anywhere with the heel faction. I don't know if they have a name or anything like that. But Rusev, Sheamus, and King Barrett, I like that grouping, if you will. And it seems like there are a lot of trios forming these days. I also like the idea of when Tyson Kidd comes back, teaming up with Cesaro and Neville, because I know that Neville and Cesaro had a couple of tag matches, too. So I kind of like those ideas, but I don't know that they'll ever develop or go anywhere with that.
Yeah, and you have what I believe started either last week on Raw or SmackDown is Stardust and the Ascension coming out during Cesaro's matches and watching and holding up signs saying Stardust Section, which is a play off the Cesaro Section.
Mm.
So, yeah, so that's another trio that, you know, could, maybe we need to bring back the old NWA six-man tag titles.
There you go. That would make things, it's kind of riding itself for Survivor Series. You would hope that there's an all Survivor Series, but we don't know that yet. Time will tell, I guess. And are we missing anything besides the main event? Have we talked about all the other matches?
I believe so.
And by the way, Chad has a lot of pictures up on the My123Cents Facebook page. Encourage you to check those out because, as we've mentioned, he was there live in the crowd. One of the many shows that you've seen at Staples, how does this one rank amongst the others that you've seen at Staples as far as crowd reaction goes?
Yeah, like I said, I think this is probably the most energetic. I'm trying to think of all the shows I've seen. I think it's been SummerSlam 2012 and 13, and the Raw this year before WrestleMania. I'm trying to think if I've seen any other shows. But yeah, this one was definitely the loudest, the most raucous.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's all because Marky Mark was sitting in the audience.
Yeah, I thought it was the guy from ZZ Top that put everyone over the edge. They mentioned both during, and I'm like, that's kind of a random guy to be talking, but I think he's been to other
there. I mean,
yeah, he's been there before, I believe.
Yeah, which real quick, because where we were sitting, we could see where the celebrities were, and Sofia Vergara and her husband, her fiancé, the guy whose name I can't think of, but he was in Magic Mike.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. They, I think, were in their seats the entire time.
Impressive.
Dusty Hill, the guy from, I believe that's Dusty, from ZZ Top,
uh-huh,
was sitting there for like half the show, and then they moved him out, and they brought in Seth Green and his posse.
Mm.
And then Rick Rubin was in the front row behind the announcers for most of the show, but then and Marky Mark was sitting next to him. And then they moved them out and brought in another group of people, which I thought was maybe the band that performed the theme song for the show, although they never, at least in the arena, they never put them on the screen. But I was just wondering, like, where do they take the celebrities that go to it? And, you know, like, what if you're a celebrity that actually wants to watch the show? And,
right.
Oh, no, let's take you backstage. And like, no, I want to see. By the way, if you look at the photos, I didn't label any of them. But if you look through, you will see a picture of a blonde woman next to a guy in a clown wig.
Yeah.
Did you know who that was?
I don't recall.
It's Noelle Foley.
Oh, okay.
And, yes, she is apparently dating
a clown.
Literally, this clown. But yeah, it was funny watching her, because she was sitting in the section right in front of us, and watching the reaction with the audience who would recognize her. And then and at one point they left and they came back, and she has like a champagne glass and a plate of, I think, hot wings. Or I was like, okay, you obviously didn't get that from the concession stand.
Yeah.
And Michelle McCool was sitting front row. I don't know if they put her on TV at all, but
they had, or at least they didn't mention her up until the point that I had watched. And I guess that's a good transition, because she, of course, is the wife of The Undertaker, who was in the main event, the Hell in a Cell against Brock Lesnar, a rematch from, what was it, 2002, yeah. somewhere in that time frame.
Because I think it was 13 years.
Yeah, so talk about that match, and you know, I think we've both been kind of critical of this feud anyway, but I'm curious what your take is seeing it live and in person.
You know, it's a match that I wasn't too interested in. I think we've discussed why numerous times on here. I was surprised at both men bleeding. That seems to be a big no-no, and anybody that has read Chris Jericho's third book, he goes into a couple stories about, I think, Batista bleeding in one of their matches and getting fined $100,000 from Vince, because Vince is very anti-blood now.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if, given the status of Taker and Brock, if they were able to convince Vince to let them bleed, or if they just did it on their own, and we'll get a nice little, you know, message from WWE saying both men have been fined for whatever. The match itself was what you would expect from a Brock Taker match. It was hard hitting, Suplex City. It was there. It was a match. Thankfully, they did not save it for WrestleMania. Brock winning, I think, was the obvious and right choice.
Mm-hmm.
Although, during the show, I don't know if you saw any of these, the promo video for Survivor Series, which is, I believe, 3 weeks, was built all around, this is the 25th anniversary of The Undertaker.
Yes.
Which kind of tells you right there that, you know,
he'll be there.
He'll be there, but it's also like, oh, you're building the show around a guy who's been wrestling for 25 years.
Maybe. With that gimmick.
Yeah. So I was kind of afraid that Taker was going to win, because if you're already promoting that he's going to be at Survivor Series,
mm-hmm.
and given how he has one match and then disappears for months at a time. The match was what it was. It was...
Well, do you think that we're going to get, because obviously, spoiler alert if you haven't watched, but you're listening to this, the Wyatt family, all four members show up and basically carry The Undertaker away. Is that right?
Which is really weird, because Taker, like, the match ended, Taker's just lying on the mat, unable to move, and, I want to be the Good Samaritan and call the hotline for elder abuse and try to get Brock investigated. But then Brock and Heyman leave. Taker's still laying there, and then he like fights to get back on his feet. He's using the ropes to get up. And this goes on for probably a good 5-6 minutes. And I'm like, okay, this show is over. The crowd's like leaving, and the ones that are staying there, you know, giving Taker a thank you Taker chant. And then all of a sudden the lights go out and the Wyatt family come out. I'm like, okay, is this like... My initial reaction was, okay, this is off air. Taker's going to beat up the Wyatts and give the crowd, you know, that feel good moment to go out on.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, you know, the Wyatts beat down Taker, and then they carry him from the ring. And then I get the, oh, I understand. Taker is too lazy to walk back to the back on his own, so he just wants the Wyatt family to help him get back there. I'm curious to see where they could go with it. And as you said, the logical match would be Wyatt's versus Taker, most likely Kane, which could be a reason why corporate Kane, is no longer in his corporate duties so that Kane, so that Demon Kane can be around full time. And then, you know, grab in maybe Reigns and Ambrose, as speculation is pointing that direction. But I just hope that they don't come out tonight and Taker comes out already having escaped or been released by the Wyatts, like kind of build it up for a little bit. But then Survivor Series is in 3 weeks, so you've got to get that story going quickly.
So you think that, I wondered, and you know, if they would hold off until WrestleMania and do something again with Bray and The Undertaker, is it too soon to speculate on WrestleMania, or should we get through Survivor Series first?
I would get through Survivor Series, because I think even the way WWE seems to be, I think we could get to Elimination Chamber before we can actually start speculating about WrestleMania.
That's a good point.
I don't know, yeah, and see, and this is where hindsight being 2020 and the lack of long-term booking, like Bray and Taker shouldn't have fought this year if they were going to do this thing, or Bray should have won, or, you know.
Right.
So many other ways it could have gone, but sure. Why would there be interest in another Bray-Taker match at WrestleMania when, one, we just saw it this year, and Bray really hasn't done anything of note since losing to John Cena at WrestleMania 30.
Right. Well, in the closing moments that we have, give me your impression, your final, your letter grade, your thumbs up, however you want to score this show. What would you give it on whatever scale you want to use?
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably give it maybe a B-. Like I said, other than Ryback, Owens, there wasn't anything that was downright terrible. Even the Kane-Seth Rollins match was fine. It just lacked something. But the matches themselves were fine. I think it helps because the last three or four shows have been horribly overbooked or just bad storytelling. And this kind of it didn't have any of that, but it didn't have anything that really moved anything forward either.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's nothing coming. I didn't walk out of the show being like, oh, I can't wait till Raw to see what happens next.
Right.
It's like, it was kind of like a indie show where you have the matches and then, you know, next month they'll have another show and we'll see whoever's on the card. We'll pair people up and go from there. It wasn't a bad show. I think there are much worse shows that you could watch if you really wanted to. But if you wanted good entertainment and good matches, then this show delivered.
All right. Well, we will definitely tune in to Raw and SmackDown to see what happens next. Chad, as always, thanks for joining us and providing a lot of great pictures over on My123Cents on our Facebook page. And be sure to check out My123Cents.com and also YouTube, Twitter, all those places as well. Thanks, everyone, again, for listening to My123Cents, the podcast.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.